Let me read to you, I think, a story that you will know well. It's in Luke 17 and verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled, listen to this phrase, along the border. Along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Jews and Samaritans, it's a border. And you know what was on the border? Nobody people in a nowhere kind of place. And as he went into the village, ten men who had leprosy, they met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, Jesus said, go, show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed and healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. Watch this. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan, having dealings with a Jew. Jesus asked, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? And then a question to us and to the wider audience. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." It's an intriguing story. We'll look at it together in a few moments' time. If you read the Psalms, you will have stumbled across in Psalm 65 a statement like this: the valleys are covered over with corn. The psalmist was celebrating seeing the harvest. If you have gone, as we've read our way through Scripture, in Ecclesiastes, whoever watches the wind will not sow, they will not plant. And whoever looks at, the King James says, regardeth the clouds will not reap. And we would have used to have a Sankey sing-along at harvest time where we'd sing, bringing in the sheaves, how we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Because that was out of Psalm 126. Those who sow in tears will reap with joy. He who goes out weeping, sowing, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with him. And it's an apt reminder of there's always a sowing. If you want something to harvest, I sow every week the word of God among you. We reap souls for Christ and his kingdom. It doesn't matter, young and old, small or large, boys or girls, men or women. The greatest calamity, I believe, from God's standpoint, is to see men and women and people across his world end their lives godless. They've never bothered to call on him, never bothered to know him, never bothered to discover him. And so they end up and spend a godless eternity. They die in their sins. Because the principle of the harvest is that you will reap whatever you sow. And you remember one of the parables that Jesus told, explained about the sower and the seeds. Seeds sown by the wayside where people walk every day. Seed sown in poor soil where there's little hope of germination, never mind growth. Seed sown amongst thorns, those things that oppose its growth, you see. And yet good soil and good seed will bring an abundant harvest. And he said, that's a mirror of your heart. It's a mirror of your life. It's a lesson about what you will hear and how you will hear. Because you're meant to hear the voice of God speaking to you. So here I am. It's harvest time once again. And I sat down and I thought about the harvest time truths. Harvest time principles. And here's my first one. How we tend to take things for granted. We've had this huge advance of technology and developing all around our world, both in the community and in a sense in social life. And yet, this is the trap. We take things for granted. There are things going on in the third world where people have scarce water resources. They have to carry it from filthy sources. They have to collect firewood. And what do you do? What do I do? I turn on a tap. I turn on a tap and water gushes out. I don't carry it anywhere. I do this. I press a button and my heating system fires up and my radiators get warm. I don't have to collect firewood. I don't have to scavenge in the forest or anything. And that's happening all along. I got some bread here. I got it from the bakers. I didn't have to go more than a few yards down the road. I went deliberately to get the bread, the big loaf, the cob loaf, and these. You've done exactly the same. This week, you may have it wrapped up and sliced for you and all that kind of thing. And all of us have had bread on our table. Did you think about how it got there? Harvest festival celebration is God giving you a jolt. He's pushing you and saying, just don't take things. Don't take so much for granted. We shrug our shoulders every single day and then we move on. Do you know what Jesus did? He said, do you see over there the glory of the lilies? Do you see them in the field? Do you see the sparrow? Do you see the tiny little mustard seed? Do you see what these women have just done? They put a child in my arms. Scrawny little kids. They got nothing. And my children never went to bed hungry, properly clothed and in a bed. Have been in Brazil when the only thing that went as a bed were some slats of wood. What went for blankets were rags. We take so much for granted. You know, The Pharisees took it for granted. That woman been caught out in wrongdoing, in sin. We're going to stone her. They took it for granted that's what are going to happen to her. And Jesus says, hey, if you're without sin, you pick up the first stone. And they all went. And then Jesus turns to this woman and he forgives her and blesses her. You see, why am I talking like this? Because I want you to know Jesus never takes any one of you for granted. He never takes you for granted. He appreciates who you are and what you have. He is so concerned about you that what other people do to you, he doesn't. Do you know what the government and the authorities have done? They've classified you. They've documented you. They've pigeonholed you. They've numbered you. They've filed your name on their databases. I've got a number that tells me I can have NHS treatment. That's all I am, a number. And then I look at other things. Society does it. Oh, you're a labourer. You're a shop assistant. You're a factory worker. You're a teacher. And the neighbours do exactly the same. Oh, who are you? Oh, you live at number 22. Oh, and whatever your number is, you see. And we take one another for granted. You say, well, there's Dave, he's the pastor. And then you name the deacons. And when we had Sunday school, we'd say, oh, this lady is the Sunday school teacher, or whatever it was. And, oh, that's my son. And she's my daughter, and that's my wife. And Jesus looks at you, and he lifts each one of us so we can be made aware of the potential of our lives. He never takes things for granted. He knows our every thought. He sees our every tear. He hears and feels what we go through when we call out to him. How do I know that? Because the scripture says he calls his own sheep by name and says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And since he's the one who made this vast universe, how great thou art, and helps to keep it going. Looking after a few billion people is not a problem. And he loves us with an intense and an immense love. That's what John 3:16, how he loves the world. And I read Psalm 139, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would be without number, like the grains of sand on the seashore. I came to tell you, to remind you at harvest, that he knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows who you are. He knows what you need. And he will never take it for granted that you need his love and you need his grace and you need his power. So shame on us when we take things for granted. Number two, we tend to forget we need each other. We take things for granted and we forget we need each other. That is what this harvest time factors and emphasizes. It's inexorably linked and dependent upon what others have done. And in a world that has gone back to this primitive concept, every man is for himself, it's lost touch of that. You know that one I quote to you from once in a while? No man is an island. Never seek to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. You see, because back of the loaf is the snowy flour. And back of the flour is the mill. And back of the mill are the wheat and the shower and the sun and the Father's will. There is one of the most eloquent messages in these two sheaves of corn. Who ploughed the fields? Well, I could give you an answer because I got these from Jeremy. Who ploughed the fields? Who, in the cold, the bleak, early morning, early in the year, sowed the seed? Who drove the tractor relentlessly up and down the field? And who harvested the crop? Who worked at the mill grinding the flour? I don't know any of their names, but I got bread. Bread on my table. I needed every one of them, and so do you. And this is why God put us in a family called the church, a great family. The church means we belong to each other. It's a timeless secret that one needs everybody, and everybody needs the one. There's a legend of a church known as the House of Many Lamps. It was built in the 16th century. And the builder put no light in there except in each pew. You see the old-fashioned rent tabs here, the numbers. They were the renting of these pews years and years ago. But in this particular church, it was not only to number the pews and who would sit in them, but there would be no light. Only a receptacle where you could put your candle, where you could put your light, a bracket on the seat. So when people stayed away, when they didn't go to church to worship, their place was dark. And if a lot of people stayed away, it was very dark indeed. It required the presence of each person to light up the church. Now, there's a Bible word for that. It's called fellowship. It's what we know, what we share together in Christ. I wanted to tell you we need each other. So, harvest tells me. I take things for granted. And then it tells me, I need you. You need me. We need each other. And you know what the other thing is we forget? And you see it across the nation at the moment. It'll explain to you why that girlie got stabbed. We tend to forget that we depend upon God. An awesome wonder. In awesome wonder we consider all the works thy hand has made. We live in a busy town, community. We get caught up in the thrust and the bustle and the hurry of this particular century of ours. We are occupied by 1,001 different things. Our spirits get overwhelmed by the intense pressures and the demands that are made upon us. But I came to tell you, in all of that, God never changes. His love never changes. It will always be from everlasting to everlasting. His character will and does not change. God's truth does not change. It is settled in the heavens. God's ways do not change. He deals with people today as he did in the scriptures that I read to you, as he's done in the centuries. And God's purposes do not change. And God's Son, Jesus, does not change. We say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he loved me yesterday, he loves me today, and he will love me tomorrow. Tony Campello, I heard him speaking, and he was bragging a little bit and he was telling about how he'd grown up in a very congested kind of city in the States there. His mother used to get a teenage girl and give her a dollar, a quarter a week, I think it was, to take him to school and back. So as he grew older, he challenged his mom, "You're giving her two quarters, whatever it was. I'll take myself to and fro to school for one." And he pleaded with his mother. She agrees. And he's saying in this particular gathering, this get-together it was, how he grew up, learned to be independent, to look after himself. He was better. He wasn't distracted by anything else. And his mom was there. And she started laughing. And she said, "Can I tell you about the rest of the story?" And well, it stopped Tony Campello speaking. And his mom said this, "Did you really think you were alone? Every morning when you left for school, I left with you. I walked behind you all the way. And every afternoon at 3:30, I was there. I was always hidden, but I was always there, and I followed you all the way home. Because I just wanted to be there for you in case you needed me." And whether you appreciate it, no, whether we appreciate it, whether we are aware of it, whether we acknowledge, it doesn't matter. I came to tell you as your pastor this morning, God is there for you. No matter when, no matter what, no matter where, you really can depend on him. I've taken the time to talk about how we take things for granted, how we take one another for granted, how we take God for granted. Those are the principles. What's the problem? Well, this remarkable encounter with 10 untouchables, 10 lepers, traveling along the border between, they couldn't be in Samaria, they couldn't be in Galilee. They were in no man's land. Lepers were a common sight in Jesus' day. Most people grew used to seeing them. You see, it's funny, isn't it? Suffering and misery are like anything else. We get used to them. I get used to seeing young men sleeping in the doorway, folk using the bench outside. I watch the television and see them all along the centre of London, Oxford Street, pitching the tents. We got used to it. We got used to having food barns, food places. We're used to it. And if we see all these things, if we're confronted by them often enough, they no longer shock you. So you learn to live with things. And here are these border people. Nobody, nowhere. And they cried out to Jesus for him to help them. And he gives this strange answer. It was almost as if he was quoting Leviticus. He says, "Go and show yourself to the priest." You see, Leviticus had this code. If you had a sore, because that's how leprosy began, you went to the priest and he would look at you. He said, come back in 7 days. And he'd examine other parts. Come back in 7 days. And if you went back in 7 days and those sores were there and probably were increasing, he knew what it was. If you went to the priest and you had sores and a week later they were gone, you were cleansed. You could go back into the community. You would not be banned anymore. You would not be isolated anymore. So go show yourselves to the priest. Because he knew about the procedure that they had to follow. And as they obey, as they do what he suggested, they found things changed. Because they always do. They were cleansed, they were delivered, they were healed. It seemed a strange thing. But as ever, if you obey what Jesus says, if you venture, if you act and do what he asks you to do, things will change. Jesus says people are set free. They change forever when he comes into their life. And that's what the lepers discovered. They were healed. The priest would say, you can go back into society. But I got bothered by their response. One only returned to Jesus to say thank you and to praise God. What happened to the others? Did some of them just take it for granted? Life's been tough. I deserve to get a break, and this is my break. Life owes me some kind of living. This is my response. I'm living in a world like that. People take their blessings for granted. But did some of them feel grateful? And they meant to say thank you. But they were sidetracked. They never got round to it. As they left the priest who declared they were cleansed, they were restored, they can have their place back in society. They left the priest, they left the temple. Did they go home first? Did they go home to their families, to their friends? And did everybody start celebrating? They gave them new clothes to put on instead of the leprous rags. Did they? And then the day's gone, and the night, and the week, and maybe a month. Oh, I never got round to thanking that Jesus. But he's not there anymore. A lot of people will be lost for eternity because they only meant to. I could bring you three men who are walking around here. They speak to me. They treat me with kindness and civility. But they were teenagers. And one night, all of this area was full of young men and women giving their heart to Jesus. They spilled over onto the rostrum with me. But these three didn't. They meant to, and they went out. They got caught up in a gang conflict. And the three of them got 6 months each. They never came back. They meant to. They meant to. There's an encounter here with Jesus. And they went away. And then the whole of their life, they have a criminal record. The whole of their life is marred. They always mean to. I intervened in a row yesterday morning outside here at the church, two women. I was here. I heard the noise, the shouting, and I went down. And I acted as an intermediary, or whatever you want to call it. And I'm left with the one lady. And I thought, I better tell her who I am. She said, I know who you are. I know who you are. I used to come to your church. And she gave me the names of her three boys. So they came to your church. She said, I've always meant to be part here. I said, come back, lady. Come back. Don't mean to. Just come back. And we got a mean to. I mean to go to church. I mean to be kind. I mean to visit someone who's not well. I mean to ask for forgiveness. And my mind, when I prepared this, came back to a scene, a poor road, and I'm interring ashes into the ground. The ashes were of a lady. All of these people are dead a long time, so you will not know who I'm talking about. The mom was here, but the two girls had quarreled. They never made it up. Wouldn't come inside the church if the other one was here. Only mom. And when I'm at the side, then we used to have it was like a pot rather than a square casket. And I'm holding it. And the one girlie, the one lady, comes and grabs it out of my hand and clings it. Mom, forgive me. Forgive me. She meant to, but she never did. How many more do I tell her like that? I have spent 63 years preaching this message. Don't have a mean, I mean to do this for God. I mean to ask forgiveness. I mean to keep all the promises. I mean to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, but other things get in the way. I've meant to be a good husband. I've meant to be a good wife. I've meant to be a good father or mother, son and daughter. I just got sidetracked. This meant to religion, it's just talk. It's never saved a soul. It's never comforted the sick. It's never enabled the work of God to flourish. And you must act when you have the chance. And one man did. And he was a Samaritan. He was a victim of racial prejudice. As blunt as that. And he came back. And he retraces his way back to Jesus. And if you've been somewhere else, that's what you've got to do. You've got to come back to Jesus. Not mean to, but you've got to come back to Jesus. And the man was determined. And he was prompt in the way he takes action. And he's convincing. Because did you hear me? And in a loud voice, as loud as he shouted, Jesus, do something for me. He says, Jesus, you did it. And I want to praise you. I want to bless you. And he does it so intensely, he does it at Jesus' feet. He gets the double blessing. I see many people make requests. They say, Pastor, will you pray for us? I go to their homes. I'm with them in their conflict situations. But there are very few who give their thanks. There are very few who will be grateful. And that's the message. Don't take things for granted. Don't take each other for granted. Don't take God for granted. They're the principles. Because if you do, if you get blessed, and he'll bless you this morning, he wants to touch your heart and change you and transform you and do wonders in your life. But say, well, I've got to go, I've got to be, I mean to, No, no. Mean to get you nowhere. And all of us are guilty. Well, I meant to do something, and we didn't do it. And that gets into our spirit. This morning, take the principles and be like the one man. God loves the one man. One man Noah, one man Moses. Oh, I could go all the way through. That's another sermon. I'm done for now. Don't mean to do something. Just do it. Keep us, Lord, from meaning to do so much and never doing it. Help us to be like the one man and offer you praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness and mercy and favor to us. Forgive us if we've taken you for granted, or even others for granted. Forgive us, cleanse us, and lift us up this morning. The harvest lessons will be learned well, and we'll live our lives to your glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for the food prepared for us. May your blessing be upon it and upon our time together. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Make your way through whenever, as you... I've just seen what you've written on my note here. Clocks.